Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
So this one's titled To Transition Well. So I wanted to give just a quick update before we jump up. It's kind of more of a recap, and that is kind of the state of affairs right now of where we're at as a congregation. So over the past few months, we have found ourselves in this position of wanting to be faithful to what the Lord's given us in the spot that we were in, and while at the same time looking forward to what the Lord has spoken through dreams and through impressions and different things that we feel like the Lord has led us in. And so we felt like, okay, Lord, we know that you've got a vision, a purpose for this congregation, yet we see ourselves in this holding pattern. And just so you know, we started this congregation about a little over 5.5 years ago, or right around 5.5 years ago. And since the inception, we have been in this holding pattern, and it's been very interesting. We've seen a small congregation become even smaller. And the knee-jerk kind of reaction is to start running the diagnostics and like, okay, what are we doing? What's wrong? And the Lord has just had us in this holding pattern. And so over the past few months, the Lord began speaking real clearly again, reminding us of those purposes that we have as a congregation in this city. And then we get the news that that we're going to be moving from Whitestone because their location is not going to be available to us. They are you know, transitioning themselves, and that is no longer going to be a congregation or a fellowship. So we need somewhere to go. And at that same time that everything is happening, the Lord is still speaking and still giving direction and reminding us of who we are. And as that is unfolding, we're looking for a spot. And in the past, you know, 5 years, we had zero problems of finding a spot. We had multiple offers and options to find a place that we could meet on Sunday afternoons and, you know, be there indefinitely and not a problem. We had the times that we went and that we ended up being at Living Hope and at Whitestone. Those were not our only options. Those were the ones that we landed on, but we had multiple options of those things being available to us, afforded to us. But this go-round, it was different, and the different conversations that we had, all of them were the same, and that is, yeah, we'd love to host you, but not indefinitely. It would be for a season. And so that even more so was a little bit of a tip-off a little bit of a confirmation of, okay, so it's not, it's maybe not the same holding pattern as we've been in the past 5 years. And so we begin looking for maybe our own space. Maybe it's time to go to Sunday mornings. And that was one of the words that kept on recurring, reoccurring and coming up. And so we begin looking for leasing space. Now, if you guys will remember back to on the prayer room side of how we got into Nora just 2 years ago, or actually 3 years ago, but when we began looking, the obstacles and the opposition that we faced getting into the Nora building were a year long and exceedingly great. They were just, Pantego fortified its walls time and time again, and we were, I mean, just saw so many obstacles and adversity of us getting into that space, and the amount of money that was needed, required to get into that space, and the amount of prayer, and the amount of I mean, everything that went into that. This has been the exact opposite. We began looking for a space, found a space. The leasing agent and the owner of the property has been a dream to work with. All of the obstacles that have been coming up have been met with provision and have been met with the answers almost immediately. And we're seeing the dominoes are just falling, and things are falling into place. Just each box is being ticked one right after the other. And we're seeing this thing happen, and I see us coming out as a congregation, and we're moving out of this holding pattern. Now, the encouraging thing is the dreams are still coming, and all of these dreams are just continuing to confirm where we are. And it's the Lord just saying, I'm with you. You're right on track of what you're supposed to be doing. You are right where I want you. You were right where I wanted you. And I just feel the Lord's pleasure on us as a congregation and the Lord's plan with us as we go forward as a people. So here we are. We're at Vine Fellowship, just as a FYI. If you search The Vine, I don't think it comes up in anything. Like there was something that showed up on my Waze app that I was searching for the fastest route. It was something hundreds of miles away. So if you just search Vine Fellowship, you'll get there faster, FYI. But we're here at Vine Fellowship, and they've been gracious to host another bit of info. The pastor of this church, Steve Reynolds, he was my former pastor right before I came under Brad's leadership. Decade plus, so this would have been 2007, so 11 years ago that I started coming a part of what Brad was doing as a congregation. So we reconnected with the pastor here, Steve Reynolds, and he was gracious to host us again for a temporary amount of time, but we're here, and this is a bit of the way that I'm looking at this moment right now in our church's history, in our timeline. It's a launching pad. We're about to go into our own space on Cooper Street. I was looking at some of the stats of the geography right there. So in between I-20, and if you go north to 303, there's only one other church there on Cooper Street, and it's that Lutheran church by the vacuum store. And so we're going into this area that is mostly retail, mostly merchants, some restaurants, and high traffic area. And we're going to go into this space, and we're going into that space, but I don't want us to go in unaware. So the message that I'm going to bring tonight is called To Transition Well. And I brought a similar message as we were transitioning into the Nora building, and I was titling it the exact same as, so I made a quick amend to the title, and so I titled it To Transition Well, as opposed to Transition Well, so that I don't get confused in my documents on my computer. So they're two years apart, but a similar message. We've been in this holding pattern for about six years, and as we're about to take our next step as a church family, I want us to be aware that transition always has opportunities for good and also for bad. And while this message is specifically for us as a church family to prepare us for this transition as we are about to take this next step into our own lease space, these principles can be applied in whatever transition that you might find yourself in. Now, one of the things that I want us to take a look at is we're going to be looking at a few different ways to transition well, but the first one is the story of Joshua as they were about to transition over the River Jordan from their wandering in the desert. They're going to take their next step across that river to take the stronghold of Jericho to go into the land of Canaan. And what ends up happening is the way that the Lord had spoke, in this specific case, was lost. The not only the directives, but the heart and the confidence that was supposed to be carried with the children of Israel was lost during this time. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look real quick at the account of when Joshua goes into this land as a scout. We'll look back at whenever Moses was first given the word. And what I want us to do is to glean some of this information so that we can repeat the good things and avoid the bad things. So the first thing I want us to take a look at is the directive that Moses gives to the scouts as they go out. So this is found in Numbers 13. In Numbers 13, verse 17 through 20, the scouts are given from one each from each tribe, and the scouts are about to go out, and there's specific directives that are given, and what they come back with. We're going to compare that with what the directives were to be given. So Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, and whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds. Basically, he wants them to get a survey of the land and come back with the facts. Whether the land is rich or poor, whether there are forests or not, be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. So when they go out, the report that they bring back is a little bit different. They go into the land, and of the 12 that go out, we know the story that Joshua and Caleb were the ones that come out and are encouraged and ready to take the land. But what the others in the camp that were going out and looking at, they didn't just go and try and follow the directives. They also came back with a spirit of fear. They came back with discouragement, and they looked at a lot of the natural circumstances, and they came back and began to spread that poison throughout the camp. Now, as they were delivering the report to Moses, the others were saying, we don't want to go in there. There's strongholds. The people, we saw giants. Now there was some good fruit. It was pretty good looking, actually. There was some milk and honey flowing. It was pretty sweet. But there's giants in the land, and we're like grasshoppers compared to them, and we don't want to do this. This is going to be horrible. Now, I wonder if Joshua and Caleb, compared to the others, were seeing the same things, and maybe if they began to sense the same amount of fear. But what is important that I believe they were remembering that helped them to overcome those things that could be influencing them was, why do we even have right to go into this place to begin with? Why did the children of Israel even have... did they just get some wild hair one day? Did they just have some whim, something, hey, it'd be good to go and take this land? It wasn't that. But in fact, if we go back to right before the Exodus, right before Moses was about to take the children of Israel out of Egypt and into the desert, if we go back to that story, you see that the Lord reveals himself to Moses and says, I revealed myself to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob, and gave Abraham the promise and told Abraham that I would be his God and that he would have children. But there was another promise that was a part of that, and that was that he would have a land, and it was the land of Canaan. And so what the children of Israel were about to do in this taking of Jericho and going into the land was they were going to actually be part of the fulfillment of what God had promised Abraham. And then what he again revealed to Moses right before the Exodus. And the very fact that God revealed himself to Moses and specifically revealed himself to Moses as the Lord. He revealed himself as Yahweh and as the God who is sufficient, all sufficient. In the place that he revealed himself to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He reveals himself in different ways, but when he reveals himself to Moses, he reveals himself as the Lord, as the one who's in control. And then what ends up happening as they go throughout these 40 years is the vision is lost, and they come to this point, And I wonder if it was Joshua and Caleb were the ones who remembered, oh yes, we're going in as a part of the fulfillment, as what of those things that were spoken long ago. And so one of the things that is easy to do is to lose vision. So we want to go in vision, but we want to go in with courage. We want to go in aware. So one of the first things that I want us to look at is to go in aware. As we go in, one of the things, let's just get it out in the open. One of the things that the enemy wants to do is he wants to kill this congregation. He wants to destroy friendships and relationships and families. He wants to take those things that are going in with a bit of strength right now and use whatever amount of change in routine and change in what we're doing to turn us against each other. Similar to what happened with those scouts as they come in with this report of it's going to be horrible and you know we're all going to die. And so the enemy wants to do those things, but the Lord has this plan for us. And I want us to go into this aware. The enemy wants to do things, but the Lord has another plan. So what I want us to do, there's five ways. We can put up on the screen real quick. Four ways, actually, that I want us to position ourselves as we go into this transition. And this is going to be kind of the takeaways that I want us to look at. So first, I want us to go in and be aware. I want us to go in and be faithful to what the Lord has told us to do as we enter into this next step. I want us to be courageous, that we wouldn't operate out of a spirit of fear or even in presumption. And then lastly, I want us to be prayerful as we go into this. And I'm going to elaborate on each of these points for just a few minutes. And then we'll go into our little orientation that Brett and Amy are going to do for us over at the children's building. But I want us to be aware, one of the things that as we go into new land, I mean think about it, even with the directive that Moses gave to the scouts as they were going out, he told them to survey the land, to be looking for the different layout of the land. And so that's one of the things we want to be aware. We want to be observing what's going on as we are in this space, but also as we go in. Those things both in the natural, but even probably more importantly, those things in the spiritual. We want to pay attention. And one of the things that is so common and is almost default sometimes if we're not intentional is to be unaware of the ways that the enemy will attack us, the ways that our emotions can get heightened or triggered in different environments, and the ways that we can begin to operate out of fear, and the ways that we can begin to operate out of presumption. And so we want to go into this with the intentionality, with the strategy of not fighting each other, but fighting for each other and fighting arm in arm or fighting back to back. This is a time for us to fortify our friendships and to be intentional with communication. It's a time for us to fight back to back as opposed to face to face. The enemy is looking for opportunities for us to have bad communication, for us to operate out of presumption, to do things in a way that would cause us to be adversarial to each other. The next point is to be faithful. Now, as I talked about just a second ago, the directive that Moses gave to the scouts, and also the original directive that was given, or the promise that was given to Abraham, and then again that was spoke to Moses right before the Exodus, it was that the Lord was going to give them a land, that he was going to give them their own habitation, their own place, and they would have their own spot. Now, as they were going in, they began to operate out of fear, and there was this presumption that they were going to go in and they were just going to die, and that the Lord was going to leave them and kind of set them up for this slaughter. But the Lord did not give them this plan and this promise to go into the land without the provision or without the protection. So one of the things I want to highlight real quick for us is that the Lord has been speaking and he's been giving us direction as a congregation, as we're going into this next step, the Lord has been speaking. I'm just encouraged that the Lord has, even in this past couple of weeks, the Lord's been picking up more and more in the dreams that we've been having, and there's more confirmation and there's more direction. And so one of the things that is encouraging about that is it's right in the season. Now, to give full disclosure, sometimes the Lord, and many times the Lord will speak, but it's not for this season. Many of you have words that you've been sitting on for a long time. Many of you have different dreams and different goals that the Lord has given you for a season to come. We have to be in a position for those things when it's time to execute, for us to do those things, that we're in a position to be able to do those. We want to position ourselves to be ready when the Lord does those things. On the other hand, we also don't want to entangle ourselves in things that can cause us to not be ready to step over in this case, in the children of Israel, in that case, over the River Jordan. We want to be ready to do those things, to take the land. And we also don't want to operate out of a knee-jerk reaction. I know sometimes it's easy to think, well, I just got this new job, therefore I have to, it's conventional wisdom. I'm going to be so busy, I can't continue doing these other things, these commitments that I've been doing. We're moving church buildings. This means that I'm not going to be able to do this any longer. One of the things that's important for us to do is to go into these situations with prayerful consideration. And many times whenever there's a transition, one of the best questions that we can begin to ask is, Lord, what am I supposed to continue doing? What am I supposed to do more of? What am I supposed to start doing? What are the things that I'm supposed to kind of back off from? And what are the things that I'm supposed to not be involved in at all? And that's a good time for us as we go into a season of transition to be asking ourselves these things. Lord, what is it that you have for me in this season? Am I supposed to continue doing this thing? Am I supposed to start preparing to do these other things? Now, one of the things that is going to be a change and a bit of a get us out of our comfort zone is we're going to do a bit more outreach as we go into this new space over off of Cooper Street. We're going to be doing more outreach, and with us going to Sunday mornings, there's going to be more people coming around. And with that being the case, that only means we're going to be getting out of our comfort zone in one of two ways. Well, maybe both ways, but one is in outreach. That's uncomfortable for many people, but then also adding people to your small groups and beginning to disciple people. As I was ministering with the IHOP Youth students this week, many of them were like timid little bunnies. And as we were going out on these outreaches, one of the girls rose her hand in the car as I was kind of explaining what we were doing. She was like, just so you know, we are all like super introverted. And I was like, okay, that's okay, not a problem. All you have to do is imagine, you remember the What Would Jesus Do bracelets? I said, all you have to do is imagine you've got that bracelet, but it says, what would extrovert do? So think about like your extroverted friend, and then what would they do in this situation? So as we were out there, I was like, what would extrovert do? And they're like, just go open your mouth. Yeah, I'm just going to go say stuff and just talk and like interact with people. Yeah, I can do this. And so what would extrovert do? That might be helpful information for some people. So the other thing is in discipleship relationships, we have done a wonderful job over the past 5-6 years of fortifying our relationships, of building up our small groups in such a way of we've got tight-knit relationships. We've got the structure and the infrastructure already laid out. just ready for people to begin to go into these small groups. And I just want to give you a heads up. Small groups are going to be getting bigger. Some of them are going to go from 0 people to like 4 people. We're gonna increase like crazy from like 0 people to 1 or 2 people. And you're going to be getting people that are in your small groups, and you're going to begin having these disciple relationships. It's going to be a time of growth. It's going to be a time of having to seek the Lord because you don't know the question that is being asked. You've never been in that situation, and it is all good. It is all what the Lord has. So what I want us to do is, as we are approaching these two new ways that we're going to be growing, is I want us to be considering and really just not be so knee-jerk reaction when some of these things change of, I'm just starting this new thing, therefore I want to back off from this other thing. I just want to encourage you, just because you get the new job, that doesn't mean you've got to back off from whatever commitments. Pray about it. That may be something that the Lord has for you. Maybe he wants to show you a new type of grace, that what it might look like for you to have this new job and this commitment that you've been doing. I want to brag on my wife for just a second. One of the things that we've done for years is we were full-time working as teachers and doing family life, but also part of the leadership team here at Forerunner Fellowship, but also volunteer staff over at the prayer room. And for those of you on volunteer staff, know what that commitment looks like. And then imagine the amount of the time. And one of the things that I just want to highlight is, there is a real amount of fear waiting to latch onto you. Like, I can't do this. I'm not going to get the amount of sleep that I need. I'm not going to. How can I manage and handle all of these different things? But pray about it and see if that's what the Lord has for you. It could be that the Lord might have a new grace for you in the season, to where maybe in this past season, the things that you were doing, and if you added one more thing, there would be no way, but it's going to be different in the next season. Who knows if the Lord might give you a new grace for that season. That's what we ended up finding, was as we approach this new season of, okay, we're going to be, you know, family and full-time work and commitments with Forerunner and commitments with the prayer room, the Lord gives grace. And that may be what the Lord has for you. So I just want to encourage you to approach those things with prayer, to be faithful to what the Lord has for you. And one of the things that I want to encourage us with is, just because we have our plans and we love the Lord doesn't necessarily mean that the Lord is going to bless those plans. If we get our plans from the Lord, we have a 100% guarantee that he's going to bless them. We've got to get our plans, our marching orders from the Lord. One of the things that Joshua found out was, I love the story in Joshua 5 that he finds out on this topic of being presumptuous or getting our plans from the Lord. So in Joshua 5:13, it says here, it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" Now, on the front end, it's kind of like, well, that seems obvious. Like, those are the only two options. But this man, decomposes. That's not the word. He takes that whole idea out and says, "No, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." And Joshua recognizes, "Oh, it's not just, are you for me? Are you on their side or my side? It's, can I be on your side? Like, I'd like to be on your side now that I see who you are." He says, "No, as a commander of the army of the Lord, I've now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth, and worshiped and said to him, what does my Lord say to a servant? He recognizes that if I get my plans from you, and here he recognizes this is the Lord. He says, if I get my plans from you, I don't have to worry about, are my plans going to fail? Because they're not my plans. They're your plans that I'm going to carry out. And so as we go forward, we see the Lord doing this thing in our congregation. The Lord is doing something for us, and he's setting us up in such a way. And we're saying, Lord, these are your plans. We want to participate. We want to partner with what you're doing. So, Lord, show us what you have for us. As the verse continues, he says, take your sandals off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And it's like, oh, this is something important. And so this is an extension of the revelation. I just wanted to take a quick moment and look at the evolution of the way that the Lord is revealing himself. First, he revealed himself to Abraham as the Lord who was sufficient, the one who is able, the God who is able to do those things that are above whatever he thought he was able to do. He was the sufficient one. He was the one who was able to give him children. He was the one who was able to give him the land. Then he reveals himself to Moses as the Lord, as the one who's in control. And so as Moses embarks on this journey with the children of Israel, he sees that God is the one who's in control. And then here with Joshua, he sees that he's the Lord of hosts. He is the one who's got the firepower, who's got the armies of heaven at his disposal. And so he's not only got the plan, but he's got the firepower and the backup to be able to execute it and to go forward in this. And so as we look at these things that the Lord has for us, we've got to recognize that he's the Lord who's able to do these things. He's the Lord who's able to do exceedingly above those plans that we would make up for ourselves. He's the Lord who's in control. Even as we've been seeing these things, these obstacles come up before us in these past few weeks compared to the Nora building, the Lord has been knocking these things out. And it's been a sovereign work. The Lord is working miraculous things on our behalf, even now as we speak. And there's more things in the coming weeks that I can promise you. We are seeing the Lord do things on our behalf that we could not do on our own. And then here in this last part, just taking from this Joshua passage, that he is the Lord who is the commander of the armies. He has the firepower to do these things. He's got the army to be able to execute these things. And I guarantee you that the Lord is working on our behalf by dispatching angels in a way that we can't perceive, that he's knocking things out on our behalf. And so I want us, as in this last part, as we prepare to close out, and like I said, we're going to transition, is to be prayerful. We can partner with what God is doing, and the coolest way to do that is to not just play like prayer roulette, like, oh, maybe the Lord will do this, but to look for the Lord's direction and pray into that. Daniel did that as he saw the 70 years coming to a close that the captivity would be for the children of Israel in Babylon. Daniel saw that in Jeremiah and said, I'm going to pray into this. And he begins to partner with the purpose of the Lord. We can also look at what is the Lord saying right now, and we can go into this prayerful. Lord, you're doing this thing for us. We are making steps according to your leading. We want to partner with what you're doing. We want to pray into the things that you're doing, into the things that you have for us. We're just not going to assume that you're going to do it, but we want to partner with what you're doing. And so the Lord has this plan for us. He has this purpose for us. But how much greater, and maybe even more so, he may even do greater things if we would just partner with what he's already said he's going to do and pray into it. And so I just want to encourage you as we go into this next season, let's be aware of what traps might be there. Let's be intentional with our relationships, with our families, with our marriages, with our friends, of being clear in communication and keeping short accounts with one another and quick repentance and all of those things. Let's be faithful to what the Lord has given us. Let's get our directions from the Lord and not just and say, you know, I've got this thing going on. I've got to to fix it. Like I said, the Lord, in many cases, you know, you find yourself with new expenses, and many times the knee-jerk reaction is, so therefore I've got to get a better paying job. I've got to get a new job. And maybe the Lord is going to give supernatural provision. We don't know unless we seek the Lord and get the confirmation. It might be that the Lord wants you to get the new job or the better paying job or the promotion or whatever it is. But we don't know that until we get that information from the Lord. So we want to be aware. We want to be faithful to what it is that the Lord's called us. One of the guiding principles that I've just found for myself that was given to me was, be found doing what the Lord told you to do last. Whatever the last directive it was that he gave you, be found doing that until he gives new direction. And that is the safest thing to do. Until the Lord gives you new direction, keep doing what it is, what he told you last. Now, if you find yourself right now today in a spot where it's like, well, I just kind of made my own plans and this is where I'm at. I don't know that I really got directive from the Lord. Keep doing that until the Lord tells you to do otherwise. But if he tells you to do something otherwise, then begin doing that. And don't stop doing that until he makes it clear that it's time to transition. So we want to be aware. We want to be faithful. We want to be courageous. It kind of goes without saying, but the passage in Joshua 1 where he tells Joshua as he's about to go, you know, be courageous, be very courageous as you're about to go out to the sea. Do not be fearful. Do not be afraid. As we go out, it's not just like we're about to embark on this adventure, so therefore, don't let your nerves get the best of you. It's, I told you I'm going to do this thing. I'm doing it for you. So therefore, go in with the confidence of what I'm doing on your behalf, and I am with you. That was one of the major things that God wanted to prove to Joshua, was you're not just doing this new thing, therefore don't be afraid, because you're not supposed to, you know, operate out of a spirit of fear. Don't be afraid, because you can have confidence that I'm the one who's doing it. I'm with you. So go in confidence knowing that I am with you, and I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to do things on your behalf. And so as we take these next steps, it's not something that we can just say, you know, don't be afraid because spirit of fear is bad. That's true, but we can be confident in what the Lord has, because he's leading us and he's guiding us into what we have, so we can be courageous. And the last one, as I said, we can be prayerful. I just think it's interesting, as I was kind of looking at the kind of geography and the demographic, we're about to go into we're going to be a light in the darkness in this area on Cooper Street, in between Pioneer and I-20 on Cooper Street. There's one other congregation, one other church, that Lutheran church. We're preparing to go in to be a light in the darkness. So that's one area that we can be prayerful. We're about to have an evangelism focus. So that's another area that we can be prayerful in. That, Lord, would you soften hearts, and Lord, would you save souls. We're about to go reach people in the community. Also, our small groups are going to start and also begin bulking up. So, Lord, give us wisdom, give us understanding to be able to minister and disciple these people, teaching the things that you've taught us and even new things as we go forward. So we have these people that we're about to meet in the next 6 months. We're going to find ourselves with new people that end up being our new best friends, that end up being in our small groups, that end up being our new comrades, that end up being those that are going to lock arms with us, that are going to help us build night and day prayer, that are going to help us be witnesses for Jesus, to be a light in the darkness in that area. And so as we find ourselves, right now I find this spot that we're in right now here at Vine Fellowship as we're preparing to go into this next spot, I see this as, I really see us as out of the holding pattern and onto the launching pad. We're sitting here and we're just waiting for the ignition to go. We're just waiting here for the thing to be launched, and we're about to take this next step. It is a new season, and I want us to be encouraged and to look at this as a way to go into this next season. And so I just want you to be encouraged and to be aware and prayerful and faithful and all those things that are up there. So let's do that.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.